1 o'clock hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Zo's last day of the week. When are we going to see you again?
Next week sometime.
When are you back? Next Thursday? You're going to be off for a week?
Let's go Bruins! Right into the Penguin game. We'll be at the Garden.
So you're off the rest of the month.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll be traveling free.
We'll see you in March.
That's when we least, Jim, we used to listen to this. We went over the bridge to Ocean City. It's like vacation all over again. Dad would crank this out the window. We put the windows down.
They say, we? What happened there?
My dad put this in and we crank it. Kids so, like, we're going on vacation.
As we mentioned with Brad Stevens, Adam Silver threw out the idea of a different playoff seeding system on Saturday that could put the league's best teams against one another or could put the league's two best teams in the finals, I should say, even if they're from the same conference. That's what it allows it to happen. That's what you've got. You've got the chance to put the Western Conference Finals, if it's the best series going forward, especially if someone like LeBron goes to the Lakers or goes to a Western Conference team, you could have two Western Conference teams in the finals.
I don't hate it.
He said his concept, though, would keep the best eight teams from each conference. So you would still have eight teams in each conference making it to the playoffs.
Right.
But you could have the Western Conference have the top four seeds.
See, there's good and bad to this. Like, the good is that you might be able to see a Rockets versus Warriors finals. That'd actually be pretty awesome, those two teams. I mean, I would give the Rockets a much better chance of beating the Warriors than, say, the Cavs, right? So that series could be special. James Harden, if he showed up in that series against, you know, Durant, all those matchups. But the early rounds could be putrid because the top seeds are playing the very worst seeds in the playoffs.
Here's my question, though. How do you seed? You have a selection committee that figures out the seeds?
Yep.
Because you're still having conferences.
Selection Sunday.
You're still having unbalanced schedules.
Ugh.
So what's the seeding? Is it based strictly on what your record was within your conference?
I would imagine it has to be record. Overall record, right?
Okay. What if you have two teams that have the same record? How do you decide? Flip a coin?
Conference record.
Head to head.
Maybe conference record. I don't know.
Straight to schedule. Conference. Yep.
You know,
yuck.
So
they would have been different conferences, though.
No, I know, but I'm saying
that's what I'm asking.
You'd have to take their conference record, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe Strauss.
Head to head? Would you take head to head? But what if they were tied head to head? I don't know.
Maybe you could put ping pong balls under solo cups.
And that's what kind of my point. Like, if you're still playing the conference heavy schedule, and your argument for this is, well, one conference is much stronger than the other, and they deserve a chance to be able to compete in the finals when we have the two best teams in the finals. Well, I would say if you're considering that, and you have one team from one conference that has the same record as a team in the other conference, how do you decide which team is better?
I don't know.
Imagine if the NFL did this and you had the AFC and NFC. It'd be New England and eight NFC teams. That's what this thing would shake down to.
I said,
the regular season. No, yuck.
I think it takes away from, not to say that every early postseason series is great.
Again, why would we need to
but
do this?
If you've got the Warriors playing the 16th seed, who's watching that series?
I don't know, but if the problem is that the league is unbalanced, what motivation are you going to give players to go back to the other conference if you just put this in place? Like, once the Western Conference, okay, let's assume the worst here, that LeBron goes to the Western Conference, and you've got all this talent out west. Well, isn't there then a draw for other, you know, superstar, maybe not the top superstars, but that next tier of guys to say, well, I'm going to go to the Eastern Conference because I want to get to the finals. And here's what I think. I think it would be bad for the Boston Celtics if this happens. That's what I think. Because I think part of the draw right now is if you're going to the Eastern Conference and you're going to play for a team like the Celtics or name any other Eastern Conference team that's competing, there's a draw there of, well, I can get to the finals with that team. I can. And that's why I want to go back over there, and then the league will naturally balance itself out over time. What's the motivation once you take that away?
You think that's somewhat overrated, though, as far as like, oh, they'd go to Boston and have a shot? I think players look at...
No, I just think it's part of the equation. I think it's part of it. 10% or 15% of the reason, not the reason you'd go.
I agree with that. I think, you know, you look at the ESPN poll over the All-Star break with 48 anonymous players, and they said who makes the best recruiting pitch. The Celtics won by a significant margin. So I think a lot of that comes down to the pitch and what Ainge and Stevens are selling. I think they're selling culture. I think they're selling the fact that Stevens usually gets the most out of talent versus some other coaches that don't. I don't think the tradition is much of a big deal, only for certain guys. It could be somewhat of a selling point. But I think it's about the culture in this coaching staff and the stability at the top with Ainge being here for so long now and him and Stevens being on the same page.
I don't disagree. I mean, those are much bigger factors. Much bigger.
But it is a good point that you bring up. You look at this and you say, well, my path to the finals now is going to be much, much different.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, hockey recedes.
And travel would suck if you're playing more than one series across the country.
That's the first thing Brad jumped up. Boom, travel.
So Celtics would have to play the 13 seed in the first round right now. It'd be the 4-13 matchup. And then if they win, they play the Spurs in the second round.
Who would be 13? Do you know who they'd get?
Would you say Washington?
I think it would be... Hang on. Milwaukee.
Ooh, that's pretty tough, actually. Milwaukee?
Either Milwaukee or Denver. I think they're the same
Milwaukee
record.
And then San Antonio? That's... Milwaukee and then San Antonio is no joke. It's a pretty tough draw for being the fourth seed overall.
Milwaukee, San Antonio... And then Houston would be the one seed. Oof. So he played some in the third.
Generally speaking, I'm not for realignments. For the most part, I'm against them.
I feel
like the NFL wants to talk about
way.
Adding a playoff team, and no, I hate it. I hate the idea in the NFL. I don't love this idea in the NBA. I think that baseball had their realignments because they obviously
you like the playing game
needed them with expansion, and they wanted more playoff teams. Yeah. And I think they did it right. I think baseball did it right when they did it back in the 90s.
If it went right now by today's standings, the Cavs would play the Warriors in the second round. The 2-7.
That doesn't make any sense to me either. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's tough.
Like, so the Warriors would have to play the Sixers and then the Cavs.
And then you also got to remember, like, not only that, now you're looking at, if you're the NBA, you're likely going to lose LeBron James in the pull that he is in the second round. They'll lose to the Warriors in the second round.
You don't want that.
No.
You definitely don't want that. Joe in New Hampshire has got a thought on Tom Brady. Hey, Joe.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hi.
I just wanted to make a point where I just would feel more comfortable if the Patriots used whatever value Tom Brady has left and maybe a first or second round pick to go after a proven commodity. I could see a lot of teams overturning their roster in the next probably 2 to 5 years, which might put like a younger quarterback, maybe not a 21, 22, 22-year-old on the market, but maybe a 25, 26, 27-year-old.
So and you want to trade Brady is what you want to do. You want to use him as a chip.
No, he's saying use the pick get him help now.
I would say trade Brady after this year. Draft somebody if it doesn't work out. Then we trade Brady with a pick to get somebody who actually has NFL experience and we don't have to guess on anymore.
Okay, so you want to trade Brady for a guy who's got to be somewhat good if you're trading for him and has NFL experience. Why would another team trade for Brady in that scenario if they've got a good starting quarterback who's got a lot of time left in his career? It doesn't make sense.
Why do people want to reinvent the wheel here? Like, Brady just came off of an MVP season. Like, if he plays great until he's 45, it's awesome, isn't it? I mean, why are we trying to come up with all of these outside the box?
Carried you 3 weeks ago. The 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks.
Feels like a year
carried
ago.
Carried you.
Yep.
What was that stat you had on pass defended that you hit me up on?
Oh, yeah. Pro Football Focus tweeted this out a little bit earlier. Since 2015, these players have seen the most coverage snaps. Number 3 is Logan Ryan.
In coverage. Good player.
Number 2 is Robert Alford.
Okay.
And by about 150 snaps, number 1, Malcolm Butler.
Interesting. Do you know Alshon Jeffrey just had a surgery because he had a torn rotator cuff that he suffered actually in training camp?
Saw that.
Played through it? Nobody really knew that?
He could play through that. He's not throwing.
Yeah, but it's discomfort. Not that comfortable out there. And that's got Eric Rowe's covered.
Rowe did do a good job after the first two drives, though, right?
I mean, yeah. He got hung out to dry on that one ball. They threw the ball and nice catch.
Like the Richards thing is, I hate reliving it, but
it ain't about Rowe. It's not about Rowe.
Let's jump back to your calls. NBA realignment, quarterbacks in the NFL, where they land, pace of play in Major League Baseball, and the addition of J.D. Martinez. We've got a lot of things to get to. We'll do it with you next.
Hey, sports fans. time for the weird,
Zolak,
the wild, Bertrand, and the unexpected.
How's his butt look?
Tight. It looks good.
Good.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Disease 617-779-0985, the phone number for you. Josh is in Rhode Island. He's up next on Zolak and Bertrand. Josh, what's up?
Hey guys, can you hear me all right?
We can. What do you got?
I was just thinking the realignment that Phil was talking about for the NBA could work if you seeded by record divided by strength of schedule. I don't know. What do you think? I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, so record and then strength of schedule. But
how do you determine strength of schedule?
Yeah, that's kind of
different.
Part of the problem. Yeah,
you can't.
It's hard when you divide it by conference when you're doing strength of schedule, right? If you're doing it by record of opposing teams.
Yeah.
Because if your argument is, oh, there's too much talent in one conference and not enough in the other. Well, if you have the same record and you have the same record in conference, but in theory you know that the Western Conference is stronger, then how do you do it?
They get may have a one website,
right?
Rank an RPI, get a rating for any power index.
Let's get Brian Kenny on it with all the statistics.
Put it through the shredder!
Yeah.
Get him on the NBA.
Shred it.
Get him in the NBA.
The shredder.
Put it through the shredder.
They'll figure it out.
Minus 22 defensive runs saved. That's awful.
That's awful.
That's awful.
Last year, Martinez had a barrel percentage of 12.3%.
I don't even know what that means.
Barrel percentage.
That's the best one, barrel percentage.
This is a monster.
Sure it is, Brian. Sure it is.
It's a monster.
Yeah, monster.
Your kids playing baseball? You sign them up for T-ball or anything yet?
No.
You better make sure they get him a good barrel percentage coach.
Well,
if they get in there.
I will say this. J.D. Martinez does spread the ball to all fields.
There you go.
Can't wait for this graphic. It's going to pop up here on the 2-6 show.
It appears that Felger Maz will be doing the Adrian Gonzalez treatment of J.D. Martinez.
Last time we got one of these spreads over top of Fenway Park, it was Adrian Gonzalez, pal, the cooler.
By my count,
he was going to hit 69 bombs. Remember?
Yes, yes. By my count, he will have, if he had played last season in Fenway Park. Now, again, though, this is if you played every game of the season.
Right.
Right? You don't play your entire season, so usually you have to split this number in half.
True.
Are the balls in humidor and humidor?
Even that's not scientifically accurate, but let's just split it in half to make it easy. He would have 8 more home runs playing in Fenway if he played all his games at Fenway. So let's say he hits 4 more than he did last year. That would be good.
It'd be very good.
That would mean the baseball, you know, was positively impacted by being at Fenway.
J.D. Martinez has turned himself from a pole hitter to one who hits to all fields. In 2014, he hit 45% of his batted balls to left field, only 22% to right. Last year, it's pretty even. Went 38% to left, 33% to center, and 29% to right field.
Uh-huh. That's pretty good.
Over the last 3 years, he leads the major leagues with 45 opposite field home runs.
As they say, he sprays it
around.
That's
a good one.
He sprays it around, Bertrand.
That's a good stat.
Sprays it around.
I didn't know that one. He has led the league in opposite field home runs?
Last 4 years.
That's an excellent stat. That is one that goes in his favor.
That's why we're getting giddy here.
Kind of a big right field at Fenway, though.
Yeah, no, it is. It absolutely is. It's large.
Put it in a bullpen.
A lot of space, unless you're going to hook it around the pole. If you can do that, you're in good shape.
Well, his would sort of be like a slice. Hooking much.
I mean, I just think power translates, right? I mean, if you are a true power hitter,
Ortiz,
you're going to hit a lot of home runs. It's pretty simple. I know we get wrapped up into the ballpark and all that, but if his barrel percentage, Brian Kenny says,
right?
If the barrel percentage is close to Giancarlo Stanton.
Here we go with the barrel. What's the barrel percentage?
Yep, we're going to need one of those stats up on the big board up there. Keep track of that barrel percentage.
I couldn't care less about that stuff. Does the guy hit bombs? You know, when he hits them out, are they shots? Yes. When he hits home runs, they're usually bombs.
That's his Hanley point too, and he's right on that. Your most violent hitter in that lineup is Hanley Ramirez.
If healthy,
but he's right.
Right, and I'm assuming that he is.
You could tell when that ball, when it's going out. There's no, is that one?
There's there's no middle ground on Martinez from what I've seen. I mean, this isn't a highly scientific poll that I've done throughout the city of Boston, but it seems like people are either, oh my God, this guy is not going to be anywhere near as good as people think he's going to be, or you have the other side of it, which is, oh my God, people don't understand how good this guy is going to be. Like, they are overlooking his numbers over the last 3 years. He's going to be great.
Right. And you got Kravis with the World Series back on. Like, he is on that train like you wouldn't believe. Like, see the start of his Section 10 thing? Woo! A lot of swear words in that one.
I saw his
mother bleeping house, baby. Yep.
They're good, though. They're a good team.
No, I know.
What sucks about this?
But it's are you buying in on 29, that stretch you hit with 29? And if you are, and if you're so convinced, why aren't there so many other teams beating down his door?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with a lot of teams don't want to spend the money up to the luxury tax. The Red Sox got killed for that last year around here. But money when you tax. Look at the rest of baseball.
They were talking 258 years for this guy.
The Yankees don't want to touch that tax number this year. The Dodgers didn't want to. The Dodgers didn't deal for Stanton because they were concerned about that tax number. But what's going to suck about this baseball season, unfortunately, is that even if these guys win 95 games, people are waiting for the postseason because what's happened the last 2 years? Like, yeah, okay,
yeah,
great.
They've won a lot of games.
No, it's Patriot.
Exactly. So yeah. No matter how well they play during the regular season, unfortunately for them, they're gonna hear an awful lot. You know, the caveat of, yeah, but what are you gonna do in the postseason? Can you put it together in October? Because all this is
what's
nice.
Wrong with that though?
No, what's wrong with what?
With saying that.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Oh yeah,
I'm just saying they're gonna.
I mean, that's completely warranted. That's fair.
I mean, it's gonna suck for them that if they're on a 95 win clip and a lot of people are looking at it like, okay, 95 wins is nice, but it's not the ultimate.
A big
goal,
part of that though comes down to two guys, Price and Sale.
Yeah, I was gonna say Price has to be one.
Price and Sale. That's gonna be one of the determining factors of how the postseason goes.
I'm fascinated.
I mean, I don't think you can add JD Martinez, right? And your lineup will be better with him than without him. But I don't think you're gonna go into the playoffs and win a round or multiple rounds because you added JD Martinez. It's good. It's a good piece to have. But you will win multiple rounds because you've got Price and Sale pitching the way they're supposed to pitch.
Right.
And you didn't get that. Listen, Price did pitch well when he pitched out of the bullpen in the playoffs. Not taking that away from him, but that was not his intended role here, right?
Yeah.
His intended role is to be a starter and to come out and be dominant, and that's the same thing for Sale, and you didn't get that from either guy. You didn't in the intended roles. And if you do, then you're looking at a different situation, I believe, in October. But it's not fair to say, I'm not buying in until I see it. Not an unfair statement to make if you're watching this team this year.
I'm fascinated to see how they handle Sale because he didn't, you know, he wasn't able to carry that performance all the way through the season. And they're talking about some changes and him approaching things differently and maybe not throwing as hard early on. Is he going to be able to stick with that plan? And is that plan going to be effective? Are we going to see Chris Sale look in August like he did in May?
And are the changes that they made with the guy running the ship, is it going to be impactful? Because you hear Warner say, hey, let's not forget, we won two division titles here. We're doing good things here in 93, but then you still pop your manager. So something wasn't right.
Scott Lauber wrote this yesterday. In short, JD Martinez is exactly the player the Red Sox needed to keep pace with the Stanton and Aaron Judge-powered New York Yankees in the division and the loaded Astros in the American League. Are the Red Sox chasing the Yankees all of a sudden? Did that happen at some point? Did I miss that memo?
I think it's the perception.
Now,
of
granted,
Dave.
The Yankees had a very big offseason with their acquisition of Giancarlo Stanton. But did that all of a sudden make them the better team?
I mean, I
think a lot of people believe that, yeah. I think they have four or five guys that could hit a ton of bombs.
Red Sox are still the more complete team.
They have better pitching.
I agree
They're
with
a more
that.
Complete
they
team.
I think they have better pitching. If they're right and they're healthy and they fix Price, they got a chance.
If Price gives you like a 3.5 ERA and he gives you 28 starts, your rotation is much better than
be
the Yankees.
You're very good shape with that.
Much better than the Yankees' rotation. But the bullpen for the Yankees is good.
We also can't bank on that.
No, you can't. That's why I said if he gives
I
you
I also
that.
Think there are things like, can Rick Porcello really be as bad as he's been?
Can he find the
I
middle
find
ground?
I find it hard to imagine.
I expect him to bounce back.
Right.
I do.
He's one of those every other year guys.
You see Derek Lowe
bounce back.
You see Derek Lowe. You see Pedro Martinez working with him. It seems like that's a guy that, you know, is going to take coaching up or take advice. Say, you know what? This is what we've learned. And you've got to be able to change a little bit.
I got one other item from Scott Lauber in ESPN yesterday that we'll get to coming up. After headlines, Nick has you covered right now.
Sports Hub Headlines.
A. Sherrod Blakely of NBC Sports Boston reporting that according to lead sources, Celtics' Marcus Smart, yes, Marcus, was back in town yesterday, had a private workout with the team. He has been officially cleared to practice tonight and play Friday. Bruins won last night in Edmonton after being down 2-0. Three unanswered goals led them to a 3-2 victory. Bruins back on the ice Saturday night in Toronto. J.D. Martinez in Florida getting his physical. He's officially a Red Sox. According to Evan Drellick of NBC Sports Boston, the opt-out of year two in Martinez's contract was the tipping point, or a tipping point. The negotiations wasn't part of the talks until late, apparently. And also, according to Drellick, Martinez has been told he will play at least some outfield. Julian Edelman posted a video on Twitter of his recovery from ACL surgery. In the video, Edelman is shown running with a resistance band alongside a trainer. In other NFL news, the Dolphins have franchise wide receiver Jarvis Landry, and the Colts are close to a one-year deal with Adam Vinatieri. Headlines are brought to you by Live Nation, Jimmy Buffett, Fenway Park with Huey Lewis and the News August 9th. Amex cardholders get tickets now through Thursday at 10 p.m. RedSox.com/Jimmy Buffett. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headlines coming up at 2 o'clock.
Zolak, Dolan, Bertrand.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, you with me, buddy?
Yeah, man.
You here? Headphones?
Yeah.
Come on, just you only got
rocking out, man.
22 minutes to go.
Just playing it, man. Just rocking, strumming here.
It's bringing you back.
Yep.
Stay with me.
I'll give you credit. I thought you'd be checked out by like noon.
I thought he would have been long gone.
You're doing pretty well today.
Thanks.
Appreciate that.
Good work today, Zo. Good work.
Scott Lauber, ESPN, also had this item about the Red Sox, which Jim Louth calls a real gem. Real gem of a line.
Was Jim more angry about this or the NBA thing?
I feel like Jim's had an angry week. Is it because the kids are at home?
Who even says real gem?
Is that what it is?
No, the MD.
The MD.
MD's way worse.
The MD's, really
MD's way worse.
Right.
It's like Shaughnessy's, like groovy. You know, who says real gem here?
It says, given time, Martinez
Swell.
Might even emerge as a Stanton-sized draw for a franchise. That I disagree with. For a franchise that needs an infusion of star power.
One team after him. Now all of a sudden we're comparing him to Stanton.
To increase its market share. This is where, come on, it gets better. Needs an infusion of star power to increase its market share after falling behind the Patriots like a decade ago. And lately, the Celtics in sports-obsessed Boston. For now, though, just check out testimonials from folks who have gotten an up-close look at Martinez the past 4 years. So, market share? They're going to gain back market share? This is a Tom Werner style of thinking.
Well, it ain't a sexy,
right?
It's not a sexy signing
big,
from that point.
Sexy name, you, J.D. Martinez. Mr. Star Power. Going to infuse that star power and gain back the popularity that's been lost.
Such a star, you got to put the whole name on the back.
He's definitely, so I would say Lauber's thinking here is in line with Tom Werner, and I prefer what John Henry said, which is, how about we just win?
Let's not worry about the TV show.
Yeah, how about we just try and win games, and when we do win games, people will appreciate it and we'll be plenty popular.
I absolutely agree with that. You win 95 games, and Martinez hits 40 bombs, Chris Sale pitches great, Kimbrel's a beast out of the pen. People will watch. The numbers will be up. But again, you also have to talk about, even if you had somebody, if Martinez does, I don't want to say transcend the game because that's a bit much, but if he does have a great season, there are going to be a number of people that still don't watch, and it's got nothing to do with the sexiness or even them winning. It's got to do with the game of baseball at this point, which is what we started the show with.
Does he need a quick start?
JD?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
I think he does too.
Yeah. I think you'll hear a lot of Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, You'll hear Pablo Sandoval.
He's got to start fast to counter that, because that's what people are waiting for.
Yeah, if he comes flying out the gate hitting, like, you know, 8 home runs in April, you're off to a good start. Like, 8 to 10 home runs, oh, my goodness, that'd be nice.
Well, let's go to Mike in Norwell, who's got a thought on the Bruins. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing, guys? First-time caller. I just had a quick question. I know I'm changing the subject off the Red Sox, but do you guys think the younger players on the Bruins would get any time at all if Claude Julien was still the coach? I just want to hang up and hear your answer.
That's a good question. I mean, I don't think you would have the changes that you see with Cassidy. If something's not working on a top line, and, you know, quickly move guys in and out. The way he handled Tuukka Rask and kind of put him out, you know, hey, here's the problem right now. We're going with the backup. Yeah, no, I don't think Claude would handle this young group the way Cassidy has.
Another question is, I don't either. I agree with you. I don't think Claude would play these guys
nearly as
much.
Look at the style that they play with. It's not even like you're watching a Claude team anymore.
That was exactly my next point on it, is these young guys could be playing this well because A, style of play, and B, the way Cassidy has coached these guys, which is probably much different than the way Julien coached young guys. These guys have a lot of confidence. They play with a lot of freedom, and that wasn't the case.
He gives them that freedom, too, though. That's the thing. It seems like Claude would be the one that would, you know, sort of handcuff them.
Yep. So. Totally agree with that, Zoe.
Going back to the last comment.
Yeah.
April is J.D. Martinez's worst month.
Oh.
There we go. Something to look forward to.
I would not advise you to start that way here.
Comes out hitting .250 with like 3 home runs.
Is it just power-wise, or is it across the board, Jim?
.267, 14 home runs, 54 RBIs in 81 games.
So that's half a year. That's a pretty decent sample.
Yeesh. Doesn't sound like number four.
Only hits .254 in May, but he's got more power in May.
Didn't play in April last year, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the least amount of games by any month.
He's had some freak injuries. He ran into a wall. So playing Fenway in left might not be a great idea.
I just pulled up 2016. He started by hitting .279 in April and then went to .229 in May.
Oof.
You don't want that. He had three home runs in April and 8 in May. So he was striking out more. He struck out 37 times in the month.
I think it's just as important as...
Swinging for dingers.
I think it's just as important... You know, I think it's just as important for these other guys in the lineup, though, to start off well, too. You need to see Xander be healthy and be confident. You need Betts to look like the guy that he was 2 years ago versus last year. It'd be nice to see those guys kind of turn it around towards the positive. And if they start hitting early, then it's easier for JD, because now they're on the Pats, and now you've got JD with runners on, which usually means better pitches. So that will help as well.
617-779-0985, the phone number here on Zolak and Bertrand. So counts down the minutes to 2 p.m.
Tick-tock.
Not really.
Tick-tock.
You printed out those boarding passes at 11:30?
Yeah, like, ready to go.
10:40.
10:40. I saw you got a window seat. I looked.
I don't even know.
I love window seats.
You're in a window. Yeah. You're a window or an aisle guy?
Oh, I'm more of an aisle guy.
Yeah, I'm an aisle guy, too.
Like, sticking my leg out.
I like the ability to stick the leg out, and I like the ability to get up at any time I want without having to move someone else.
Yeah, the aisle's not bad.
Bother somebody else.
The aisle's not bad. I like watching takeoffs, though, and watching the landing. Kind of dig that.
What are you, 12?
If I get bored. You don't like the...
You sit there and eat your chicken fingers?
is that like a 12-year-old thing to do? Watch the takeoff and watch the landing?
Yeah, I got three. I had three of them.
Yeah, while you're eating a pack of Starburst.
Yep. I think it's nice to watch.
Interesting.
Like when you're landing in Boston, you got downtown, landing in Logan.
You're talking about when you're on the plane.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm off the plane, I watch the landings and the takeoffs.
What did you think he meant by that?
I thought he had like his face stuck up against the glass.
I asked if you're an aisle or a window guy. He says, it is nice to watch the takeoffs and landings. And you thought that he meant back in the terminal?
I thought he was a little kid back in the terminal, his face pressed against the glass. Wow, look at that plane coming in.
Yeah.
Look at Alan taking off.
Sometimes I go
you're talking about watching him take off and land.
Sometimes I go all
from
the way down to
the plane,
TF Green.
That you're on, landing and taking off on.
Sometimes I go to TF Green near Jim. Hang out with Jim, and we lie down on top of the hood and watch the planes fly over us like Wayne's World. Of course not. He's talking about in the plane.
P. People do that for the Patriots plane when they know it's coming in.
Weirdos.
Do pressed they? Up against that chain link fence.
We
watching
sit
it.
There.
Yep.
We,
that's a
you
bit
know,
much.
You know what's great? We make that turn with the five buses. You know, we come right around where that roast beef sandwich is on the corner, past the old Hooters there that is run with rats now. And
nice.
To see
rat Hooters.
To see the people fly out of their cars and are taking pictures. I'm like, look at these people. There's a guy there with three kids. He's running them over. He's dragging them to get put their faces up against the plane. They'll watch people get off.
That's
the bus
so embarrassing, man.
That's a big deal for Rhode Island having
the
that plane.
The buses are laughing because we're like, hey, look at you. It's Chuck's uncle.
It's still out there. It's out there today. This morning. It's out there right on the runway. Just show. It's like a show.
It's been
showroom.
A big boost for the local economy. They were trying to make up for it after
what
the whole 38
pitches Warwick
thing.
Yeah.
Mean.
It's a good $1 million investment.
Either go on a trampoline park or you take your kids down there and stare at a plane. What are you going to do?
Grown
stare at the plane every day of the week.
Grown-ass man dragging your kids around to see a plane.
They can't go to Kwanzaa Point anymore. They don't have that Rocky Point amusement park, right? That's been gone.
That's been long
bit.
Gone. Long gone. Rocky Point.
Walking park now.
Today's takeaways are coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right. Time for today's takeaways. We're going to give it to you. Wake 180 weight loss takeaway. Take away your excess weight loss for life. That's right. Visit awaken180weightloss.com.
My takeaway is this.
What takeaway?
Brad Stevens. Sounds like he had a sit down, a little heart to heart, maybe a forceful conversation with Marcus Smart, who has been cleared to practice with the Celtics. Here's Stevens on that.
Met with him here recently and just, you know, kind of talked to him about, you know, it is go time. It is not an ideal situation that he put himself through or how it impacted us. But we need him to be his best version of himself moving forward, and I expect that he will be.
Pretty quick and simple there, though.
The tone,
direct
the tone
to
of the interview today was a very serious one.
Yeah. His tone was one of urgency.
Yeah, and he mentioned it. He mentioned operating with urgency.
Yep.
And getting back to work. And even said, you know, reiterated what he had said, that there might be some lineup changes coming.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, it hits you in the face, man. Bam. But 23 games left.
There was a sit-down with Marcus Smart, though. So, told him to get his head on straight, probably.
It's almost like you're either in or out. You know what I mean? We're giving you a mandate. This is what you got to do, or else we're moving. We don't have time. Time is of the essence. It's a sense of urgency once instilled in this team. He said they better be ready to go when they come back. You know, get that one, Jim?
This recent, I was just going to say, can I add this? Yeah. This recent streak for them is either going to turn out to be real in the sense that they had climbed out of a lot of holes in games and came back and won a lot of games early in the year that they didn't have much business winning and did. Or this is going to be the thing that gets them right back on track and they come out of it and play great and you look back at those games and say, no, they were that team. They were that good. Like, this is a sort of a pivotal time for them coming out of this break.
Feels like, too, like, you know, you're the coach. You've been here in a while now. You've got your bona fide superstar. It's almost like 23 games. Kyrie, here's the ball. It is your time.
You know,
go take over.
I think this could be one of the biggest challenges for Steven since he's been here. The expectations were ramped up, and now you have a roster of, what, six rookies? Some guys not playing as well as they
played. Yeah, outside of Irving and L&M, and he's got to be able to balance some of these guys with the injuries.
Can you coach veteran players when they've gone through some struggles?
Yep. Can you coach a true superstar when things aren't going great?
So you had something else from that?
Yeah, just what he expects when they hit the ground running tonight, and he gets to see the team. Here you go.
What's the biggest focus for you and the team coming out of the break, and what is it that you want to try to achieve in your first couple of games back?
You know, I want to get back to being a team that, you know, finds a way and does so because it competes at the highest of levels on every possession. You know, we haven't been a perfect team all year, but what we have done for, you know, especially the early part of the year was we competed, we found a way. And I think that we have to put every piece of energy into that. We have to play better than we did heading into break. You know, as I said before, you know, everybody was had the same All-Star break. So to say that, you know, we were looking ahead to break or whatever the case may be, well, everybody else was in the same boat too. The bottom line is that's no excuse for poor performance. And we had a few of those heading into break, and you know, we better play a lot better here over the next 23 games. Because if we stay at the level we've been playing at, it's not good enough.
That's amazing. It's not really that long. I mean, just think about that. You know, 20 games, you're pretty much going to have a beat on where you're at, where you sit, and what who you're going to be.
Sense of urgency better be really high coming into today. There's no question about it.
That's different. That's a different Brad Stevens. Like, it's like now he's feeling it too. Like, we're into it. I've been here now enough to where we got to be able to respond. Because it's, you know, it's there in front of you. You know, now it scares you because Cleveland made the changes that they made. You saw quickly they were able to change, just like that.
Yep.
So, fellas, we started the show talking about pace of play in baseball.
Yes.
We didn't get to this comment by Rich Eisen on his radio show. He apparently spoke with a league executive who came up with a pretty interesting plan, a pretty interesting change. Here's Rich Eisen.
Here's the rule change. In the ninth inning only, not eighth inning, not seventh, not extras, ninth inning only, you are allowed to send up to the plate as your first three hitters whoever you want.
Ooh.
Whether they have just played.
Oh, yeah.
So if 3-4-5 goes out in order in the eighth inning, ninth inning, your manager sends 3-4-5 right back out there. And then 6 goes, and 7 goes, and 8 goes. And if it goes into extra innings, they haven't figured out what it would be. Do you pick it up from the eighth, or do you pick it up from where it left off, that you recreate the batting order in the ninth inning that goes now for the rest of the game?
Ooh. Or you can kick a 50-yard field goal
right.
for 5 points.
I say NFL overtime, send three players. I go Brady, Gronk, Dion Lewis. Let's go. See what we got.
This is what it's come
my
to.
Three.
Between Rich Eisen,
nope.
Felger Zolak,
yesterday.
You're all ruining the argument.
Enema.
We want to make a couple of nice little tweaks to
Six
speed
innings.
The game up. Now we need to ruin the game, and then it gives these players credibility when they're like, oh, everyone wants to change the whole game.
Three balls, two strikes, two outs,
no,
6 innings.
No,
let's
we're
go.
Not changing the whole game.
Out.
We just need to get it moving first.
Cut the parking in half.
Let's get it
bucks.
Moving.
Yeah. You only need one bag of peanuts.
Couple of tweaks. Pitch clock.
You don't have to worry about stop serving beer to 7. Because you know why? Because you're never going to get that late. Just keep it rolling. Serve beer every inning. Easy. 6 innings. Boom. In and out. Nice night. Did you have a good time? Yeah. We were there only 2 hours, 45 minutes. It was great. Had a great night. Stopped off in the North End. Got some cannolis. Went over to Cafe Victoria. It was great. Murray, he went and got himself a burger down in the Wi-Fi joint. Guys downloading the Fire Stick. Trying to get the free movies that are in the theaters right now. It's good stuff. A lot of time to do more things. 4.5 hours. Oh.
Yeah, when was the last time you watched a 4.5 hour baseball game start to finish? Never.
No, I would not.
Never.
I would not make it through that.
Right. Never.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Not many in this room would.
Let's do away with batting orders. Let's just not have those anymore. Oh, all caution to the wind. Forget it. Just do whatever we want to do.
Put a pitching machine out there. Let him hit the pitching machine.
Manfred
right
whiffed.
Right down the middle.
Let's just call for what it is. Manfred is totally whiffed. He's
why,
a coward after a lot of tough talk.
Can't wait for the good overlay talk coming here. 2-6 over there. Fenway Park got
that's
me
right.
all excited.
That's
got,
right.
I've never been this excited since the cooler was signed here. Adrian Gonzalez.
I counted eight more.
Did the same
eight
thing.
More just dingers.
69 to 73 home runs.
He split him in half. He's going to hit 4 or 5 more here at Fenway this year.
24.
24 overall.
Yeah, he's going to crush it. They're going to be talking about adding a humidor to Fenway next season because J.D. Martinez is just going to tear
it
up.
Keep it right
so
there
much.
And game on. You can see the balls
he's
when you go by.
Impacting the ballpark in new and different ways. Felger Mass coming up next. So have a great week. We'll
yes,
see
sir.
You in a week.
See you in a week, bud.
Cattle, see you tomorrow, buddy.